Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the July 27th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Please stand if you can and join with me in the responsive reading. Come, people of God, rooted and built up in Christ.
Come with thanksgiving, seeking wisdom and strength.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find.
We come to the one who hears prayer and answers in love.
In a world of need and noise, we gather to listen and to grow.
Let us worship the God who draws near with mercy and power.
Our hymn is 442.
Next is the hymn, The Church's One Foundation. Next is the hymn, We Are God's People.
Oh.
Our scripture is Psalm 138. This is from the Revised Standard Version. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. Bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill your purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, God is so good.
We turn to our epistle reading, found in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. I'm using the Message, the translation by Eugene Peterson, in order to bring a freshness as well as some understanding to this passage. There are times when Paul and his complex sentences loses us, the reader, and so I thought this version of it, this translation of it, would help us in staying on track and follow the bouncing ball. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now, live in him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. Let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. That's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, a horoscope to realize the fullness in Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Christ. When you come to Christ, that fullness comes together in you. His power extends over everything. Enter into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised of the flesh or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. Insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you and me. Destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life, and coming up out of the water was a resurrection for you, God raising you from the dead, as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you to life, right along with Christ. So think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean, right along with Christ. He stripped all of the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. This is the word of the Lord. Today's scripture is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians at a church in the city of Colossae. Let's open this letter together and see what might be addressed in our lives as well. So the city of Colossae was a modest town in Asia Minor, but it was a town that had aged out. It was beyond its prime. At once it was a hub of trade and culture, but by Paul's time, both by an earthquake and by the time he wrote this letter, it really had drifted into obscurity. Not long after he wrote this letter, the city itself was destroyed and never rebuilt again by an earthquake. So Paul himself is in prison. He writes to this little church in this little place with this message that shakes the very power of the universe. It's a message of thanksgiving. It's also a message of freedom, a message of victory. Walking in this victory is why I've entitled this sermon. You see, the believers that gathered in that church at Colossae lived under a shadow of what Paul calls the powers and principalities. These powers and principalities were not just metaphors that Paul made up. These were the very spiritual and social forces that governed their world. Everything they knew was shaped by these sets of beliefs, these powers and principalities. If you were going to go on a voyage, well, then you prayed to the god Poseidon, the god of the sea, or else you risked disaster. If you wanted your crops to grow, you honored Demeter, the goddess of the harvest. If you needed healing, you made an offering to Asclepius, the god of medicine. If you hoped to have children, well, then you prayed to Artemis, the goddess of fertility. If you're going into battle, you offered sacrifice to Ares, the god of war. And if you wanted wealth, you lit a candle for Plutus, the god of riches. These gods, these powers, they were everywhere. They were behind the scenes, above the empires, and woven into the very fabric of their daily life. If you ignore them, you did it at your peril. Now, before you and I roll your eyes at these so-called deities, we should ask this key question. Who rules our day today? We no longer believe in Zeus or Artemis, but that doesn't mean we're free. We have our own powers, our own systems, our own invisible forces that shape our world. We talk about our economy. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever walked up and spoke to it, touched it? But it decides whether you get hired. It decides whether you can retire. It also decides whether you sleep at night. We speak of the system, the educational system, the healthcare system, the justice system. But nobody seems to be able to change it. Only we survive it. So we don't run the system, but the system runs us. Our ancestors, these people at Colossae, they named their powers Mars, Demeter, Plutus, Aphrodite. We name our powers profit, security, youth, productivity, fame. We tell stories about them too, and only now they're in advertising, economic textbooks, and political speeches. We may know more about the facts than even the ancients do, but I'm not sure we know any more about how to resist these powers than they did. And Paul writes these words into that world, their world, and into our world. And Paul declares something absolutely revolutionary. He says in verses 6-7, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him." And again in verses 9 and 10, "For in Christ the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have come into fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and every authority." Did you hear that? Paul is saying, you don't belong to the powers. You don't belong to the powers or the principalities. You don't have to serve them. You definitely don't have to fear them. And you also don't have to obey them. You're in Christ. And in Christ, you already have everything you need. But wait, how can that be? It's because of what Christ has done. As it says in verse 15, "He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in the cross." Let's remember what those powers did to Jesus, because they turned their full weight against him. Rome arrested him. The religious leaders, the temple elite, rejected him. The crowd that gathered mocked him. They stripped him, they beat him, they crucified him. And above his head on that cross was the sign that said, "Here, here is the King of the Jews." A joke, a final humiliation, and a warning to anyone who dared try and do what he did to claim power that didn't belong to anyone other than Caesar. The cross looked like defeat. It looked like the powers had won again. Another rebel crushed. But Paul flips the script. These words, "He stripped the powers naked. He made public example of them. He triumphed over them in the cross." The cross was meant to shame him. It became his throne. The weapon of fear became the instrument of victory. The place of death became the birthplace of new life. He didn't lose to the powers. He exposed them. He embarrassed them. He broke their illusion of control. And now, yes, now, because of that cross, you and I are free. Verse 14 says that the record of sin that stood against us has been canceled. The bill has been torn up. No one will pay this debt anymore. because the debt has been erased. All the claims against you and me have been broken. Paul, in his words, he's echoing the book of Exodus here. God has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Verses 13, 14. Just as Israel was freed from Pharaoh's hand, we have been freed from the grip of every oppressive force. That war is over. That enemy, those enemies have been routed. And now we walk in victory. It doesn't mean that we'll never struggle. It means we struggle in light of the final victory. Because the decisive battle has already been won. That war is over. It's just a matter of cleaning up the details. And the cleanup is underway. So how do we walk in that victory? Every time you pray, "Thy kingdom come," you are proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord and that those powers are not. At every meal and every time you pause to bless your food and give thanks, you're rejecting the truth that your livelihood comes from capitalism or your own effort. It's a gift of God given to you as you thank God for the gift of food. Every time you come to the communion table, you're joining the victory feast, the banquet of the slain and yet risen Lamb of God, who now reigns in glory. And the church's job, our job, is to keep reminding ourselves that this is the truth that we live out. Jesus Christ is Lord. And Poseidon, Demeter, Artemis, Ares, Mammon, Caesar, Wall Street, social media, anxiety, and despair are not. Jesus Christ is Lord. The battle has been fought. The battle has been won. And those powers and principalities have now been stripped and shamed. The King reigns. And now we walk in Christ's victory. My friends, this week, this day, let us live like it.
Next is the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
To God and grace. our prayer as we join our voices the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Next is the hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God.
Thank you.